Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Tuesday at 9 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing today?
We are wonderful.
Super.
Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, as always. So, Charles, obviously a beatdown for the Patriots against the Titans the other day, 36-13, the final. Some fumbles for the Titans. Otherwise, you look at the box score, they ran for 270 yards in that game against the Patriots without Derrick Henry. Patriots have won six games in a row. What do you think of New England during this stretch? Are they the team to beat right now in your mind in the AFC?
I think that you have to put them, you know, at the top or near the top. I think the thing about New England that is intriguing is that they figured out over this, you know, stretch of wins that they've strung together, they've found balance on offense. They know how to run the football. They don't put a ton on Mac Jones. Defense is great. I mean, it's far more talented than I think I gave them credit for coming into the season. I think that, you know, you talk to people in New England and Bill's really happy with, I guess, just the knowledge and preparation of the players, the contribution he's getting from some younger guys. He can tend to do a little more, I don't want to say exotic things, but he can make things a little more complicated when he feels like he has guys who can handle the processing of it. And you know, I think they're just really happy how things have come together. And, you know, Mac Jones, I think if you look at Mac Jones through the balance of the season, he's gotten better. It seems like, you know, if not every single game he's gotten better, you look at, you know, break it up into two or three game sort of windows, he's gotten better in each of those two or three game windows. So, yeah, I mean, they're consistent. It's, you know, maybe in some past years where, you know, Kansas City was lighting the world on fire, or, you had Patriots teams that were at their peak. It's not the sexiest team, but in a season like this where, you know, it's so flat and even amongst, you know, the top tier teams, I think you probably got to look at the AFC and say that they're right there at the top.
All right. I know you cover the NFL, Charles, but I mean, dude, college football right now, how drunk is it? And this actually does tie. This does tie to the NFL. I mean, like, did you see the your alma mater, the contract they gave Mel Tucker?
My alma mater is not our alma mater.
It's like
anymore.
It's like when I tell Katie, that's your child, talking back like that.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just insane, though. But first of all, I'd like your just overall reaction to all this stuff. Brian Kelly, I mean, it's amazing. But also, we were talking about this earlier, Charles. So I'm going through like the Vrabel scenario, you know, Ryan Day. You know, you can't get pushed around like by Michigan too many times in that job. Let's say that thing opens up, you know, in a year, and all of a sudden, like, the market is like, you know, 15 mil a year for a coach, like Vrabel or Fickle or somebody. You know, I mean, Fickle's in college, but Vrabel of the NFL. Like, are we getting to the point, Charles, where these schools are so out of hand and the agents are just destroying them to such extent that like NFL owners aren't going to be able to keep? Coaches are going to lose more coaches in college football, or am I totally overreacting to this?
Well, here's the thing. When you look at how the money has worked in the NFL, you sign these, you know, fat new television contracts, $110 billion, $120 billion over the expanse, and, oh, look at what's going to do. The cap's going to get blown out. And well, here's the thing. Like, guess what? Head coach pay is going to have to catch up in the NFL. It's poor. Especially when you compare it to what's going on in college. And, you know, I know some people say, well, look, college coaches, it's a completely different realm. You have to do more. You have to take on more responsibility. You're the face of essentially, particularly when you're, you know, let's say it's, as you said, Ryan Day or, you know, Brian Kelly going to LSU. You become the face of an entire institution. It doesn't matter. I mean, the NFL head coaches, if they're going to get offered, you know, double or triple what some of these guys are making, you're going to have to consider a college job. Now, you know, Cliff Kingsbury, you know, gets brought up in the Oklahoma thing. And I think that's a little bit different because I look at Cliff and I go, okay, you're sitting in the number one NFC slot, you know, potentially, unless things implode, you're looking pretty good down the stretch. You're making $5.5 million a season, which I think puts him 11th in the NFL right now. That's probably got to double, frankly, you know, if he finishes out this season strong. And, you know, whether it's Vrabel, Kyle Shanahan, you know, Kevin Stefanski, you have a lot of these coaches that are sub $5 million coaches. And, you know, you have Matt Rhule is making $8.5 million. It's just, it's all over the place in terms of success versus pay in the NFL. I think what you're going to see is you're going to see NFL head coaches, you're going to see salaries spike over the next 10 years, and you're going to see GM salaries start to spike. You're going to see some of the other ancillary salaries on the team are going to start to reflect where money is going in the NFL. Or, as you said, they will lose. You'll lose some coaches at some point who will say, look, if you're going to pay me $3 or $4 million and this program is going to pay me 12, you know, the difference in, and particularly if that money's guaranteed, a lot of these coaching contracts you hear about are not fully guaranteed. We made a lot about the John Gruden 10-year, $100 million deal, but, you know, it, from what I understood, a lot of it was backloaded and it was not fully guaranteed. Well, some of these college deals are, I mean, I think they're pretty ironclad. These guys are going to get their money. So, yeah, it's going to have to change for the NFL. They're behind the curve when it comes to this stuff. And if Brian Kelly's going to LSU for $15 million a year, I mean, you know, somebody's going to have to catch up. And by the way, we don't even know what Urban's making in Jacksonville. That's one of the interesting things about the NFL is that, you know, I know he asked for $12 million a year. We don't know exactly what he got. I'm guessing, you know, and again, this is speculation on my part, but, you know, Gruden got $10 million a year. I'm guessing that that's probably where Urban landed. So, you know, some of these coaches, given their track record of success, you know, Rhule struggled in Carolina. We see what Urban's done in Jacksonville. Frankly, if I'm Mike Vrabel, you know, some of these guys, you know, Kyle Shanahan, I'm kind of sitting here going, you know what, my salary's probably got to double or maybe even triple, you know, to meet where at least I've taken the program at this point.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Now, Charles, admittedly, I made it through about half of that Sunday night football game the other night before I had to go on and do other things with my life. But the Ravens sit there at 8-3. What do you make of Baltimore and what they've been able to do thus far and their prospects as they move forward here?
They're tough. Look, the thing that bothered me in that game is you look at Lamar Jackson and the three interceptions in three consecutive drives. None of them were – I mean, they were all bad. They were all bad picks. It wasn't like, oh, you know, you have a ball bounce off somebody's hand. I mean, it was just, it was poor decisions. And then you look at, you know, four interceptions for him that the Browns turned into 3 points. All I could think is, if he replicates this against, you know, pretty much anyone in the playoffs, they're going to lose. Like, this is, you can't do this against a quality team. You do this against New England, you're not winning that football game. And because you're not going to face, you know, teams that are struggling offensively and can only put up 3 points on the board with four turnovers. So, I mean, shoot, look at what New England did, you know, against the Titans. You can't turn the ball over like that and expect to win games consistently. And it bothers me about Lamar Jackson that we would see that you know, kind of thing happens in the middle of a game like that against, frankly, a Cleveland team that, I mean, you know, look, they're talented defensively, but, you know, they're struggling. And it makes me look at Baltimore and I feel a little queasy. I mean, maybe the same way I kind of looked at the Titans when all the injuries start to stack up. And then, you know, I look at the Titans, 9 turnovers in 2 games versus 0 forced. I mean, no team, whether it's Tennessee or Baltimore or, you know, if New England goes through a spate like that, you're not going to win games in the playoffs consistently. So, it's, you know, I guess, you know, Baltimore, we're looking at New England or looking at Baltimore. I'll take New England right now just because of the consistency and the balance that New England has. And Baltimore, to me, falls in the camp of pretty much everybody else in the AFC that's been on a roller coaster.
Has Matthew Stafford lionized the Rams, Charles?
Man, we hate Matthew Stafford now, don't we? I mean, everybody.
We love him, we hate him.
I'm not thrilled about, you know, how he plays in prime time, but I'm telling you that game is, That wasn't a great game, you know, by any means by him, and I don't like the pick sixes, but I'm more worried about the Rams' defense, honestly. Like, that game, like, everybody's talking about Stafford, and Sean McVay comes out afterward in his presser, and he's, like, defending the guy. I'm like, how about your defense, man? You're paying a ton of money to, you know, Aaron Donald, Von Miller, obviously you gave up a ton for him. You're not paying him. The Broncos are paying him. But, you know, Jalen Ramsey, you know, who, by the way, I called Patrick Ramsey. We want to talk about somebody who's covered the NFL too long. I literally called Patrick Ramsey the other day. I'm sitting there and I'm staring at that defense and saying, it looks to me, regardless of what you think about what Brandon Staley's doing with the Chargers right now, they're underachieving. He was a great defensive coordinator for them. They do not look as dynamic defensively. And I don't understand this idea with Ramsey about kind of moving him around versus just saying, hey, we're going to take you. And especially when we play a guy like Davante Adams, you're with him. Just stay with him. You know, we get it. You know, you can do a lot of different things and create havoc and, but we need you. Occasionally we're going to run up against a team that has an absolutely dominant wide receiver, and we just need you to erase them and not worry about being anywhere else on the field. They didn't do that against the Packers, and, you know, I think the defensive inconsistency really bothers me more than Stafford. It would help if they had, you know, if you don't lose Akers in the preseason, the offense would have been a lot more balanced than this. But I think losing Akers and not being able to consistently kind of run the football the way they wanted to has put a lot more on Stafford's shoulders. And they knew that. Like, when I was in the facility during training camp, you know, they were kind of making jokes about, you know, whatever the over was on Stafford's pass attempts this year. Like, make sure you take that. Like, so it's, it ain't great, you know, with the Rams. But again, I hate to keep saying this, but look at the NFC too. I mean, other than the Packers, like, who are you really in on? You know, who are you absolutely convinced with the utmost conviction I'm putting everything on them? I don't know that Tampa, you know, I'm not that convinced about Tampa. I mean, the Packers I like because you have some guys who are returning from injury, and their defense is playing pretty well right now. So, it's a really interesting season just to watch all these teams kind of try to get it together down the stretch. You know what this means? It means it's going to be the Giants here. That's where, right. you know, the wild card, some wild card team, you know, that we're looking at right now and going, yeah, not really. I don't expect. I mean, it could be
Niners.
Yeah. Look at San Francisco. You can't tell me that they're not getting better as they get healthier and they figured out how to run the ball. 37 plus minutes of time of possession the last three games. I mean, that's crazy. And if they're going to run the ball like that consistently and can continue to get healthier, yeah, Niners could be a wild card team that runs the table.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Charles, great stuff as always, my man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
Thank you, guys. And we all saw that match of Brian Kelly and LSU. That was completely perfect, right? Like, that was something I saw. That made a lot of sense.
Oh, he loves his gumbo, that Brian Kelly. It's going to be perfect.
Yeah, I love it. Now let's start the Urban back to Notre Dame.
Oh, we've already. Oh, we're on that. All over that.
We've tossed that sucker.
All right, well, put me on the train. Book a ticket.
Okay, we can do that. Charles, appreciate you, man.
See you, bud.
Later, guys.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, one of the best in the business, joins us every Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Charles had to say there. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune in to the NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The Game of the Week this Sunday on 102.5 The Game, the Baltimore Ravens versus the Pittsburgh Steelers with a 3:25 p.m. kickoff. That's an interesting one. Whole AFC North, very interesting right now. Can't figure any of them out.
A lot of carnage to come and a lot of 17-13 games, I think.
I believe so.
Probably.
Maybe it's the Bengals' time. They're just going to get right in there, man.
Hey, you know, They are. Talk about a team that's all over. Talk about a roller coaster season. But they look pretty good. Joe Burrow looks pretty good right now.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to – you know, I was just about this. I wish I would have said something to Charles. You know, he is personally, like individually, he is responsible for Pete Carroll's entire tenure at Seattle. We were talking about this earlier about, like, the USC surge.
Yeah.
I mean
– should he get a Super Bowl ring from the Seahawks?
He actually probably should. I mean, I know he's not going to get any pictures with Reggie Bush's lost Heisman. But,
probably not.
But, I mean, he delivered Pete Carroll to Seattle. So.
He did.
During that USC coaching search that ended up with Lane Kiffin and was focused on, you know, Jeff Fisher and Steve Mariucci and Mike Bellotti and stuff like that. Wild.
By the way, Josh Heupel has made some comments this morning on the Sports Animal out in Knoxville. Josh Ward tweeting this out a few minutes ago. I believe this came on the Eric Haines show. Quote, "We absolutely love Tennessee and believe what we're going to be building here and can't be happier and more excited about what we're going to be able to do next year and in the coming years as well." So Josh Heupel with a radio interview this morning didn't really like flat out say that he's not interested in anything else. He talked about, you know, when you have success, sometimes your name gets mentioned in some job openings, but doubled down that he and his family really love Knoxville and that they are committed to the Power T, as he put it, and to building their program here, who I guess he said they're more excited about now than they were when they first took the job. So there you go. Take that for what that's worth from Josh Heupel.
Yeah, so that quote is totally what you'd expect. So Logan Ward, who's on the show with Eric Ainge, tweeted, "Josh Heupel confirmed to us he will not be taking the head coaching job at Oklahoma."
I don't think I saw
that. I guess
that.
I'm going to have to listen to the whole interview because like Josh Ward's quote is not confirming. I mean, for one thing, like, and this happens all the time, and I understand. Look, I mean, if you get him on the air, you ask him the question, or you have a press conference, you're going to ask a question.
Sure.
Like, a coach can't confirm something like that, you know? I mean, you don't – again, I don't think it's ever going to get to the point where he would have the choice ahead of him. I don't think it'll get to that. But how many times – I mean, Brian Kelly a week ago said, "Nope, I'm not leaving of my own volition." I mean, just you don't know what's going to happen. So, look, I'm part of the media throng that has been in these press conferences and asked these questions and written what was said and all that stuff. So, I mean, I'm part of the problem too, I guess. But it's just like, let's – until a situation actually arises, there's no way that you can actually ask somebody about the situation. It's just really asking about a hypothetical.
Yeah. Well, and like, I also understand from a coaching perspective, like, why you don't really ever deny anything. Like, you're always trying to put yourself in a good position to make more money and to have a contract extension. Now, I think the idea of giving Josh Heupel a raise and or a contract extension 1 year into his contract is pretty ludicrous to me.
Philip Fulmer would do it.
Well, yeah, Fulmer, he'd already been signed for another 8 years. What a time.
It is ludicrous, and yet I would not totally take it off the table. But I
wouldn't either.
I don't think. I mean, again, I think basically I think it would only happen if forced to happen, and that's how it should happen.
Yeah.
Like, that's what, like, Philip Fulmer just did it randomly, on, like, bored on a September day. Yeah. Like, wait and see if someone's coming after your coach, then say, okay, what can we do? Here we go.
Right.
Or, you know, like Michigan State, I guess, anticipated LSU coming up from Mel Tucker. So they did the ridiculous contract they gave him. But, like, with Pruitt, there was nothing like that going on. So
Tennessee fans thought he was Nick Saban's replacement in waiting.
That's true. That's true. He was the chosen one to be Nick Saban's successor. But, I mean, so if Danny White's hand is forced at all with Heupel, okay, well – then that's a different story. But just randomly, because everyone's throwing money around right now, I'd go ahead and good first season, good job, Coach Heupel. Let's keep recruiting.
If you missed it, the details coming out on the Brian Kelly contract at LSU, 10 years, $95 million. So I think with incentives, it can get up to 100. So basically, a potential of $10 million per year.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Now, that's not 15, which was being thrown out there yesterday.
And that's the thing. I didn't realize that Urban Meyer was potentially making $12 million a year.
Boy.
I mean, seriously, like, if you're Vrabel, if that's true, and maybe he didn't quite get that, but, I mean, I guess if he If it was reported he asked for that and then he took the job, it couldn't be too far from that.
Yeah.
Like, if you're Mike Vrabel, you got to be like, and I know Vrabel was his assistant who a decade ago was busting his butt in an interview to hope that Urban Meyer would hire him. But still, you got to be like, okay.
Well, and Vrabel's got 1 year left on his contract after this year. Like, he probably don't need a raise.
Amy Adams Strong, is going to need to break out the checkbook on this one.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, here's the hottest take yet, and book it on this. The Titans are in the perfect storm. In time for the playoffs, everyone, and I mean everyone, will be healthy and playing through with all the teams on the way to the AFC title game. They will get through this. So saying that by the time the end of the season rolls around, everybody, and he means everybody, will be healthy.
Well, it's not the hottest take. It's extremely optimistic and hopeful. It's not impossible. The biggest question remains Derrick Henry. One, because your best player, and two, because we just don't know if he's actually going to be able to get to the point where he can play again on the foot a few weeks after the bone heals. Everybody else could be, you could see Bud Dupree coming back and A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. I mean, I think maybe my next question is just, can Julio Jones actually play full games and multiple weeks in a row at any point?
LSU has officially introduced Brian Kelly as their next head football coach. They've got a nice video of the caption of it on Twitter, the epitome of a winner, the next championship head coach at LSU. There's Brian Kelly all over the place.
There you go.
It's going to be a fun few days here in the next few college football days of and hours of this world.
And Brian Kelly comes well up said the press by me there. Like, whoop, you're fine. Brian Kelly's up there like, whoo, pig. And it was like, no, Brian.
No, Brian.
That's, you're, go Tigers. You're close. Yeah, I have to agree with Gentry Estes, like LSU has this tweet, like the one you're talking about. And he's like, Gentry's like, you have to chuckle the implication that like Notre Dame isn't, quote, a legitimate contender for championship.
Yes.
But LSU has actually sealed the deal.
They have.
In the past three times, three different coaches in the past 20 years, and Notre Dame has not – I mean, they've come close, I guess, but every time they get into
– position, they get smoked.
I mean, that one – that was one of the most disgusting games when they played Bama a few years ago. Was that 12?
Yeah. Oh. The Manti Te'o stuff, that was fun too. Great stuff out there.
That's right. Now the good old days.
When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst. Look ahead to the Predators and the Blue Jackets coming up tonight. That's next. Make sure you tune in every Tuesday to Into Payday with TNT Tuesdays on FanDuel Sportsbook. And it doesn't matter if you win or lose. FanDuel's giving all customers $10 back every single Tuesday. Just bet a $10 or more same-game parlay on any NBA on TNT game. Same-game parlays let you combine the money line, the point spread, player props, and more all into one wager. The Warriors and the Suns tonight on TNT. Going to be a great game in the Western Conference. Give me the Suns on the money line. Give me Steph Curry the over on the points. But you take it any way you want to take it. Offers like this are why I love betting with FanDuel Sportsbook. When you win, you get paid in as little as 2 hours, and they've got great live betting options every single day as well. So get $10 back every Tuesday, win or lose, with TNT Tuesdays. If you're new to FanDuel, sign up with promo code ROB to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 and make every moment more this NBA season. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max bonus of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Oh, yeah. It's that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. Time to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Preds TV analyst Chris Mason. See, Mace? What's going on, brother? How we doing?
What's up, guys? Doing good. Just getting ready for the pregame meeting, the broadcast meeting. So other than that, all good. How are you guys doing?
We are doing very well. We appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. See, Mace, interesting stretch for this team. They're kind of in the win one, lose a couple mold right now over the last couple of weeks. Some strong comments after the game the other night by Mikhail Granlund of how they need to get out of that. What do you make of where this Predators team is right now and the way that they played over the last six games?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, I think their record is really indicates how they've been playing. They have the games where they regress, and, you know, then games where they correct it, and it's been just too choppy, too back and forth. I mean, the one thing I really like about this team, and I don't think there's, you know, any night where I watch a game or, you know, we're calling a game and I think that this team's not working hard. I think this team works extremely hard. You know, all the guys on the team, it's not a lack of effort, that's for sure. And I think that's been an issue in the past with this club. But I think, you know, discipline-wise, system-wise, maybe puck management, I think, has been the biggest thing for me that's been a little inconsistent. And I think, you know, maybe when a team like this that wasn't supposed to have success starts having success and you start scoring goals and maybe you think that you're something that you're not. I'm not sure if that's the case, but just it kind of looks to me like that sometimes, the way that they play or the penalties that they take or the decisions that they make. And like I said, the work ethic is always there with this team, which I love. I think it's just more of the mindset this team has to get back in that, you know, hard to play against. You know, you're not a top team. You're not going to outgun the Colorado Avalanche. You can beat top teams, and you could be a top team, but there's a formula. And I think, in my opinion, they just have to be more disciplined with staying with that formula.
So, CBS, we were talking earlier on the show about Elie Tolvanen, you know, shooting 1.8% right now. Obviously, he had that goal right off the jump and hasn't had one since. And obviously, players go into hot and cold stretches, but it doesn't seem like he's getting a lot of opportunities, getting to the point where he can use that extraordinary shot of his. What are you seeing from him? What needs to change for him?
Well, I think he's getting, you know, he's playing well. He's, you know, he continues to play because he's playing the game the right way. And he's like, I agree with you, Joe. He still continues to like pile up the shots, but he's just not getting in those areas that, you know, a guy like him needs to score. When he does, he's missing the net. And instead of, you know, a goal scorer last year, he would have, you know, put the puck right under the bar and the goalie would barely move. And now it's, you know, it's on the ice and, he's making an easy save for the goaltender. And without any of these guys, these goal scorers, it's all confidence. It's, you know, having that, just instinctual play where you're not thinking about it. You're just playing the game. You're shooting. Things are coming natural. And, you know, the longer it goes, the more it gets in a player's head. And I think, you know, right now that's kind of one of the things with Tolvanen. But I do think, it's just a matter of time. I mean, he's just too good. And, you know, John Hines has commended the way that he's kind of stuck with it, I guess, in terms of not getting away from the other parts of his game. But it's kind of a mystery because, you know, you think somebody that could shoot the puck like he can and as many shots and chances as he's had throughout the year, he'd be at a higher total. So you'd like to think that, you know, that part of the secondary scoring is going to come around because these guys need it. You know, I don't know if, you know, Duchesne or Johansson or Granlund and, you know, all these guys can continue the pace they're on. I hope they do. But, you know, history says that it probably won't be that high, which is fine. But that's when you need guys like Tolvanen. And that's where coming into the year was a big source of that secondary scoring. And obviously he hasn't put up the numbers yet. So just crossing the fingers that he continues to push through and he'll get his looks and maybe get back on that, you know, first unit or get cash in on the power play to get things going. But he's just snake bitten right now, and he's got to find ways to get better scoring areas.
Preds TV analyst Chris Mason on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. See, Mace, what have you thought of Philip Tomasino's game thus far? You know, you're trying to get your feet wet in the NHL. He's 19 games in now to his NHL career, gets back on the score sheet the other night. What have you thought of Tomasino as a whole?
I've been really happy with him. You know, at the beginning of the year, I know it was only a couple games, but I thought, you know, he might be seeing time in Milwaukee to work on his game. And he sat out for a couple games and came back and scored. And like any other player, I think there's going to be stretches where, you know, there's some things in your game that you have to learn from and get better at. And there's no difference with him, you know, defensively. But I think he's been improving in that area. I think he needs to, you know, he's starting to settle in when he gets these good chances that he's creating. And to me, that's the biggest thing, is he's getting these chances, and you can see the skill and the separation that he's able to create from his skill and his speed and just the way he plays the game. You could just tell he's got a knack for those areas and getting those opportunities. Just needs to, you know, relax a little bit when he gets in those situations and breakaways, and that'll come with time. But so far, I've been really, really happy. You can just see the potential there that he has, and he's going to be a nice part of the future. And hopefully, if he keeps getting better. You know, we just talk about Tolvin and that secondary scoring, that he'll start converting some of these, you know, grade A chances that he's getting. But I've liked him, and you know, he seems like he's a coachable kid. That's what, you know, Hines and the coaching staff say. He's a great kid. Positive guy, wants to learn, good assessment of his own game, and I think that's really, really important. And you know, he's mature for young players, so that's good to see.
So, CBS, we've talked a lot recently, and I think it's just going to be an ongoing discussion until something happens. You know, about Philip Forsberg and, you know, the extension situation, the possibility of trading him or going to the offseason, whatever's going to happen. I'm wondering from a player perspective. I mean, I know. I guess the simple answer is you just put your head down and you block it out and you just do your best. But I mean, how difficult is that to do if you're a player in Forsberg's situation, knowing that, you know, your future right now is being discussed. You're thinking about it. You're talking about it. How difficult is it to block all that out?
You know, I think you know it's there. I think it can be used for motivation, because obviously the better he plays. Whether, you know, it's here and they sign a long-term deal here, or he goes somewhere else and signs, I think, or he gets traded, like you said, you just mentioned off all the options. I think it's something that, you know, a lot of players use as motivation. So, and he's a fiery guy. And I think he's one of those guys that he wants to put up numbers and play his best. And, you know, everybody goes through this at certain points of their career. I know it can weigh on players at times, because if you want something to happen, or, you know, some players will say, well, I don't care, we'll talk about it at the end of the season, or, you know, I'm just worrying about my game. You always know it's there as a player, and it's something that I think as a professional athlete, you learn how to, I guess, compartmentalize you know, those feelings and put them aside and go about your business. And he's a pro, and he's a competitive guy, so I think he'll be fine. He seems like the type of player that would use something like that as motivation. And, you know, he's played well this season, put up numbers, and, you know, come back from a 9-game stint there on the IR, and he came back strong. So I don't think it'll be an issue for him.
Preds TV analyst Chris Mason has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every Tuesday morning at 9:30. See, Mace, appreciate you, my man. Looking forward to the call tonight.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Great talk.
Absolutely, buddy. You as well. Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, former Preds goaltender, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, if I was in Forsberg's shoes, how easy or difficult would it be to kind of block those things out?
Yeah, you gotta trust the process.
Yeah,
you gotta do your job. Yeah, I guess it's like, is it difficult to think about the consequences of both things?
Right.
Like it's more consequential to go on a hot streak or also go on a cold streak, maybe, in this time, you know, with the fact that, I mean, this is your chance here to set yourself up. Not that he's not set up, but he's made a lot of money, but this is your chance to set yourself up here. This is it.
Well, and probably more of a difficult thing to think about when you're sidelined with an injury for 9 games as to what that could mean for your total as you move forward here.
Right. So then, you know, I mean, it gets into like, okay, I got to make up for lost time, and then yep. Maybe get outside yourself and blah, blah, blah.
He did come back in his first game and have 2 goals and almost 3. So there was that. So I guess he handled it okay.
It worked. If he got outside himself, then stay outside yourself because you scored all those goals.
We'll come back. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
You know, my rooting interest in college football is actually, I mean, I'm a Virginia Tech fan. I'm changing today. I am changing. I am purely passionate. I am the biggest fan of whoever plays LSU on a weekly basis from now on. And it's purely just this hype video for Brian Kelly. Oh. It's so nauseating. I just quote tweeted it, but I mean, I love these things because, like, first of all, like, they've had Brian Kelly for 5 minutes as coach, so they bring him in like, okay, coach, you know, just like, look toward the ceiling a little bit, you know? Yeah. Now when you sit down, I kind of, like, have your head over there and then, like, slowly turn your head and look toward the camera. So it's like the slow motion Brian Kelly, you know, like, glamour shots in the video along with, like, just, you know, just testimonial after testimonial about how amazing he is. And
the perfect resume.
Yeah, the perfect resume. Yes, totally. The perfect resume. Brian Kelly's been a very good coach. Also a pretty thoroughly unlikable person, I think, for a lot of his career. But, you know, honestly, I actually, to me, I was thawing a little bit on that. I feel like, you know, Brian Kelly's not like the brash guy he was, you know, back in the day. He is back to thoroughly unlikable.
Yes.
Like, to a new level of it. Like, just watch this video, and I mean, I'd actually like to know. Like, Caroline Fenton, I would like to know. Is she excited about him? And, like, does she look at this video and say, yes, go Tigers? You know? Like, does this get LSU people jacked up and all pumped up? I'd like to know. I want to hear from the LSU fandom. But for people who aren't LSU fans, you watch this or just like his presser to come, you are going to be an anti-LSU fan. You're an LSU anti-fans are being born all over this country right now.
I don't care how successful Brian Kelly is or how many wins he has as LSU head coach. When I think of LSU head coach, I'm always going to think of Ed Orgeron. I'm an Ed Orgeron loyalist here on this program. Coach O is the LSU head coach. He is the face of that program as far as I'm concerned, and I don't care what anybody else says.
Okay. Well, there's that too. There's like the likability of Coach O, although I'm a little bit less likable when I found out he's a total scumbag who goes out and tries to hook up with pregnant wives of boosters. But,
don't do
that. You know, on the field, he's likable. Yeah, this is just wild. It's just wild. I'm looking at these videos now. It's amazing. I'm very interested to hear, like, what are LSU fans like do they feel like this is a huge? I mean, I know it's a step up from Coach O, but by the way, Brian Kelly will never, ever, ever have a team like Coach O had a couple years ago.
No,
he will never have that team. That's arguably the greatest team ever.
Yeah.
Brian Kelly's not going to have that team.
It's crazy. I'm interested to see now. Like, it's got to be either like later today or certainly in the next couple of days. Like, Oklahoma's got to get a coach, right? There's some chatter about maybe Brent Venables. A lot of names being thrown around out there. Notre Dame, what are they going to do? Like, Notre Dame, is it Urban Meyer? Is it Luke Fickell? It'll be an interesting few days.
Are Notre Dame and Oklahoma about to fight over Matt Campbell?
Could be.
I don't know. But it's got to happen fast.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Shane from Ashland City texting in. LSU fan for over 20 years. I don't see a perfect resume, and I don't see success. I don't like it. If you don't come here and win 10 games, you're gone. So what makes you think you can come from Notre Dame to the SEC and win 10 games at least?
One, I think he's inheriting a talented resume, but he's a very good coach. Let's not get it mixed up. Brian Kelly's a very good coach, and I'm familiar with him going back to Grand Valley State, winning, you know, national championships there and on since then. He's a very good coach. But he's also it just doesn't seem like a fit. And I understand, we talked earlier, like, oh yeah, whatever, Saban isn't some Alabama, guy.
But even Saban, like, he feels like more of a fit in the SEC than Brian Kelly does.
I agree. But what about Urban Meyer?
That's pretty close.
Like, to this?
Yeah, it's pretty close to Brian Kelly.
Yeah, I just don't know that Brian Kelly is the coach Urban Meyer is, you know, in terms of the Urban Meyer, especially as a recruiter.
Yeah.
Relentless and just in general, relentless. It's going to be fascinating. I'll say that.
Yes, it is. Let's go back to the text line. Devin from Dover texting in. I want y'all's opinion, but I really think we may need to make getting a starting tight end the number one priority this offseason. A starting tight end for the Titans.
Yeah, well, we said last offseason.
Yeah.
That would be a good idea, and I don't think there's any question that this offseason there's going to be an investment probably in the draft, but if not in a free agency, to bring in someone who makes a difference there, more of a difference there. On the Brian Kelly thing, by the way, this video, which is just, again, it's the slow-mo shots of him are just incredible. Okay, coach, now look up, like, you know, pensively toward the ceiling, and we'll do this in slow-mo. But at the end of it is Colin Cowherd, of all people, saying, like, they're going to compete for the Natty next year. So you should feel terrible.
Yeah, you feel great about that now.
That being possible now, LSU fans.
Good gracious.
But that's, I mean, not, like, look at USC. Like, not only are these, everything is just going just nuts in this sport, and all these incredible, you know, coach movements and all this stuff, but the pressures for them are just more and more over the top. It's recruiting.
Think about the coaches in the SEC West. Nick Saban, Brian Kelly, Lane Kiffin, Mike Leach, Sam Pittman. Who am I?
Jimbo Fisher.
I mean, my God. What's going on here?
That could be like an amazing. You remember the reality show, The Surreal Life, with former, like, you know, like sitcom stars and stuff? What if we put those guys in a house?
Jeez.
Brian Kelly would be the least liked.
Oh, for sure.
Nah. Yeah, because Saban's kind of, you know.
Saban would be fine. Lane Kiffin and Saban are best buds, apparently.
Oh, that'd be fun. Oh, man. Saban making Lane Kiffin go mow the lawn. Oh. TV gold.
We'll see what happens in college football today. Been a crazy two days in college football over the last 48 hours. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase is up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.